Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, again I thank You for this opportunity to stand here before these Thy people. And now, Father, I pray to be strengthened one more time, that I may speak with the power and the authority that Your Son would speak. Father, open the hearts of Your children to hear Your words. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Witnessing in the new millennium, what is it? As I told you in Sabbath school this morning, some of you very quickly, I can remember a day in my youth when we used to have people stand up during the worship service, and especially in Sabbath school, and tell us about people they had met that week and they had shared Jesus Christ with, of tracts that they had handed out, of experiences they had, or they would stand up and say, "This is my guest this Sabbath." When was the last time you heard a witness time? Has it been a while? Our church is changing. It is growing by leaps and bounds, and when it grows, there are growing pains. There are those of us in the Adventist church who do not like change, but the church will change and must change. Not the doctrines of the church. There is nothing wrong with our doctrines. But I do know this, and this is a truth. As we come closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we must find new ways of presenting the gospel message to the world. Witnessing in the new millennium. Folks, I believe that this church has a mission. How about you? I believe this church has a mission. How about you? Amen. We do have a mission. My question to the congregation this morning, and it's all right to talk. What is the mission of the church? What? Oh, I'm hearing all kinds of things. What's the mission of the church? Talk about Christ? Are you ready? Wrong. Friends, I got news for you. The gospel is going throughout the world, not just by Adventists. Blasphemy. What is the good news? The good news is that Jesus Christ died for us. Amen? Folks, I hate to shake you this morning, but we're coming to a time in history when we're not going to have time to go over the 27 fundamental beliefs of the church. Because people are going to say, "I love Jesus because I got to go die." Serious times we're living in. And we're playing games. We say Jesus is coming soon, and we can't even say amen. The mission of the church. I have a cold. The mission of the church is to keep the world from being deceived. Listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, Adventists. You're not just any other church. You're the Seventh-day Adventist church that was raised up right on time. You are here for a reason. Not just to come here and build a school. Not just to come here and fellowship. Not just to come here and give your tithes and offerings. And not just to walk down the street with your nose in the air going, "I know which day of the week to go to church." You want to see a Pharisee? You want to see a 2,000-year-old Jew? Look in the mirror. We have become, in North America, the church that Jesus was upset with 2,000 years ago. We have the scriptures. We have the knowledge. We have the prophet. We have the words. And we are saying nothing. What good does it do to bring a man in and feed him a meal if he does not know Jesus in the hour in which he lives? All through history, man has been ignorant. When prophecy was being fulfilled in his ears, do you not realize, church, that you are living in the hour of the fulfillment of prophecy. You're living it. Every generation down through time in Noah's day did not realize the hour in which they lived. At the cross, they did not realize the hour in which they lived. Through the dark ages, they did not realize that prophecy was being fulfilled in their ears as they lived. And we today, in the last days, do not realize that we are living at the time of the end. Oh, we talk about it. We use it as a buzzword. But do we believe it? Friends, Jesus is even at the door. Now listen to me. When we study the book of Revelation, the main theme there is two groups. Amen? Those who will serve God and those who will think they are serving God. And they will be what? Deceived. Now listen to me, brethren. Everywhere I go, I'm amazed. Seventh-day Adventists do not know who they are. Oh, we go to church on Saturday, the true Sabbath. There's more to being a Seventh-day Adventist than keeping the Sabbath and not eating pork. And I'm a little tired of God's remnant church being related to a pig. How about you? Aren't you? If this is truly God's remnant church, then we got a message for those folks next door having a yard sale today. Or were you looking to see what might be there after sundown? Lord Jesus, did you see that file cabinet? Save it for me. Friends, you are living exactly on time when you're supposed to be alive. You are not an afterthought. You are not an accident. You are here today. You are part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. Or you're attending this church today, whether you're a visitor of another denomination or what, to hear a message about last day events, that Jesus is coming soon and what's going to happen. You are sitting today in a church, the only church in the world that can keep you from being deceived and lost. Did you get it? Listen to me. The only church in the world that has been raised up right on time according to prophecy to keep the world from being deceived right before Jesus comes, and we are sitting with our mouths shut. The dear sister said, there will be those who will come to us and say, why didn't you tell me? What will we say? Oh, we get all puffed up and go, well, she was talking about some other Adventist. I go to church every week. So what? There's a lot of us that are not going to be in the kingdom because we don't know how to witness. I'm not talking about a Bible study. I'm not talking about even going door to door. I'm talking about we as a people have lost our bridges to communicate with the rest of the world and with other denominations. What happens when you put a Methodist and the Adventist in the same room? You have an argument. And each one proof texts the other one. Before you leave here today, if you'll give me the time, I'm going to teach you how to witness. How to witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because folks, I'm not talking about just talking. I'm talking about spiritual survival. Did you get that? Spiritual survival in the last days. Because you may think you know your Bible. The Pharisees knew their Bible. Did they recognize the Savior? No. When He was standing right in front of them. You know what was wrong? He wasn't hovering 3 feet off the ground and He didn't glow in the dark. Now you're laughing. But have you considered what junk and trash your children are watching? You see, pastors get up here now and we call many of our pastors boring. He just hasn't got that spark. But have you considered what many Adventist pastors have to contend with? Video games, surround sound, big screen color televisions, HBO, and channel changers. We're expected to whine, dance, can't jump, can't get too loud, can't get Pentecostal on us. But keep me entertained so my mind doesn't wander. You know what I told my congregation at Park? You know what some of you want from me? I say rip the pews out, put giant-sized baby chairs in here, set your butts down in it, put that thing over as you got your little table, and I'll come by with the pablum and feed you every Sabbath. That's not my job. That's not what I was called to do. But unfortunately, over the past few years in the church that I love and I would give my life for, that's what we've turned into. I want to go to church. I want to be fed by the pastor. I'm concerned about our church. I'm concerned about the church I pastor. I travel all over this nation. I've got Texas to go to yet, Canada, California, and the Florida Conference. Want me to come and share what I'm sharing with you today. We've got to wake up. Listen to these words from the book of Revelation, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him. Who's him?
Satan.
By the blood of the Lamb, gospel, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Did you get that? You've got to have the gospel, the love of Jesus Christ. You've got to know from whence your salvation cometh. But being a Christian means you've got to say something. But Pastor Phil, I can't give Bible studies. I'm not asking you to give a Bible study. But I am asking you to talk and to have something to say when God opens the door. Now listen to me. In the Adventist church, I was raised that you're not doing anything unless, one, you're going door to door, two, you're handing out literature, or three, you're giving a Bible study. That's the way I was raised. Not everybody has the talent of giving a Bible study. Not everybody has that gumption to go door to door and have that door slammed in their face. So many of us feel, well, then I have no ministry. I'll support the ministry through my tithes and offerings. I'll send my church to school and to vacation Bible school. I'll come every week. But that's about as far as I can go with it. Because I don't have these other talents. Ah, but you do. Because I want to tell you a truth this morning. Now listen to me. How many of you think Jesus lies? Oh, no hands went up. Then if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you've repented and been baptized, then God gave you gifts. They loved not their lives until the death, and they had Jesus, and they had their testimony or witness. What is a witness? Something that you know about and something you can relate to. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So how do we keep the world from being deceived? How do we present this message more fully? By learning to witness with the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. Question. Show me in the Bible someone where it says the disciples literally went door to door. Do you see it? But do you notice that Jesus, James, John, Peter, and all of them were prepared when they ran into people in their daily lives? Did you notice the difference? You see, when you go door to door, it's kind of a hit and miss. Not right or wrong. Oh, we can pray, Lord, send me to the right door. You might go to 100 doors before you get to that one. What I'm saying is learn to witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about, Pastor Phil? Okay. Many times we witness when God has no involvement in the witness whatsoever. Example, why do you Adventists go to church on Saturday and why don't you eat pork? Well, let me show you here in my Bible in Exodus 20. Boom, boom, boom. And we proof text them. And they go, oh, you Adventists are just a bunch of legalists, and walk away. And you go, but I gave them the truth, Lord. I gave them the truth. And if they don't receive the truth, let the sin be on their head, and we feel real good about ourselves now, don't we? You ever had somebody say something like that and say, well, the sin's on their head, I gave them the message? I'll never forget one brother came to me and he says, Pastor, I just want you to know I straightened out that little situation for you. Oh, pastors get worried when they hear things like that. What'd you do, brother? Well, you know, I went to Sister So-and-so and took my spirit of prophecy and I set her down and I read her the riot act. Took me 18 months to get that woman back to church. But he gave the message. The problem is, are we given the message as a Pharisee or are we given the message as a child of God? There's a difference. We can quote the same text, but are we delivering a message or beating somebody up? You see, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. Nowhere do I see in my Bible or in the spirit of prophecy where we are told to be the accusers of the brethren. We are to uplift. We are to love. We are to affirm one another. Amen? This should be the safest place in the world for me to come to. Church. This should be God's hospital for you. My own family may reject me and reject my beliefs, but my church family accepts me. My own family may say, you're no kind of a parent. You're no kind of a Christian. Look at your child on drugs. But my church family loves me and prays for my child with me. And they try to visit him. This place, this holy place, should be the safest place in the world for me to come as a Seventh-day Adventist. Amen? It should also be the safest place in the world for the drunkard and the drug addict. You know what I tell my congregation? On Sabbath morning, I want to smell alcohol. And they all look at me. And I say, on Sabbath morning, I want to see young people that have been out partying all night with eyes that look like road maps sitting on the back. And they're in church. And why are they there? Well, they shouldn't be in church. They were out drinking. They were out partying last night. But something drew them here, folks. And praise God, they're mine now. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You cannot grow until you're willing to sit down beside the unwashed and knock away the gnat. I'm serious. You cannot grow spiritually, physically, until as a church body you're willing to accept what comes through those doors. I got a young couple. My day we called them beach bums. They're in church every Sabbath. He's got long blonde hair, wears flip-flops and shorts and a tank top. And he's in church every week saying, I really like it here. Is he an Adventist? No. Is his wife? No. But they're in church every week. You see, I want to teach you how to bring people to church and just let them come here in fellowship. And they'll join your church because they love you because you first loved them. And you won't have to spend a dime. Listen to me. A fellow from Texas called me. I told the people in Sabbath school this morning. I started the story, didn't finish it. He said, we spent $37,000. We baptized, I think he said, 5 or 7. That's roughly about $5,000 a head. And that's the average in the Adventist church. In North America, it costs us over $5,000 roughly per baptism. Do you think that's a very good average? I got news for you. I don't think any of us in here got pockets deep enough to finish the work if we keep this up. It's going to be too expensive. Now, don't misunderstand. I started to tell you this morning, in North America especially, we do evangelism backwards. We'll take and we'll sit down and we'll set up a budget. We'll say, we're going to spend $65. As one church I knew, a friend of mine had, Pastor Steve, $80,000 was budgeted for evangelism and a crusade that year. $80,000, and they baptized 35. And they brought in some big guns. But see, here's what we do. We'll set up this great big huge budget. We'll send out thousands and thousands of brochures. And they go into all these mailboxes. Then we'll get down and we'll pray, Lord God, may they get to the right people. Lord God, oh, Thou art holy. Send the Holy Spirit. Even if it's thrown in a trash can, someone will pick it up and show up at this meeting so I don't have to do nothing. That's really what you pray. Please bless this evangelist so my job will get easier. Let them all be baptized, Lord, so we'll have a bigger income so we can build a bigger church and put in a new PA system, and we need a new piano, Lord, while you're at it. Are you a church or an institution? A church is winning souls. An institution is maintaining. Well, what we'll do is we'll spend all this money. Then the evangelist comes in and we give him 5 to 6 weeks to work with people who have never seen us, never set foot inside of our church. And in 6 weeks we'll say, look, here's all we want you to do. No pressure. We spent $40,000 bringing your behind in here. Now, we don't want you to think it's numbers. You show me an evangelist who doesn't give you numbers, and I'll show you an unemployed evangelist. Oh, we always say it's not numbers. How many of you church members like to say we spent $50,000 and baptized 2? You'd be upset? You say, $50,000 we baptized? We bring them in. They've got 6 weeks to find them, water them, seed them, prune them, fertilize them, and dunk them. 6 weeks. And then they're gone. And then when they leave, guess what? Within 6 weeks, you'll lose over 50% of them. And then you know what we'll say? At the board meeting, every time, a dear brother or sister will go, he baptized them too soon. That's what's wrong with this church. Baptized them too soon. About the jailer, was he baptized too soon? And all of his family. That's not the problem, folks. They bonded to the evangelist and they did not bond to us because we didn't know them, because they weren't one of us. Pharisees. That's my pew. I was doing, y'all don't mind, do you? Is this okay? Okay. Thank you. I was doing evangelism down in the southern part of Virginia. And the church had 12 members. You think it was in trouble? Church had 12 members. No air conditioning. No fans, and it was July. The temperature inside was 118 degrees that evening. I remember very well. We had 40 non-SDAs in the congregation, more than people. First night, everybody's just dying from the heat, including me. I'm going, I want to take my shirt off. And I'm standing up front, and in the back is a couple, a family of about 5. And in through the back door comes our members. And they walk up to this family and they go, excuse me, but you're sitting in our pew. So the family got up, moved to the end, to the back, and right out through the back door. And they were gone. Because their family had donated that pew to the church, and there was a little brass tag on the end that had the family name on it. Did the family go after them and say, we're sorry? No. If that's the way they feel about it, let them go. You think the church grew? Guess how many people were there the next night when they saw what happened? We had 12 people, and they were all Adventists. Me and the other evangelists had to go out and start looking for them and trying to bring them back. And all of them said, did you see what happened to that family in the back? Yeah, we saw. And then you have to say things like, yeah, but not everybody's that way. Well, then how come nobody got up and followed us out? Well, Pharisees. I was told I had to quit by 2 o'clock. Just kidding. You see, my friends, you need to stop defending yourself. That's your first mistake. We're not defending anything. We're not a defense. We have to go on the offense in our witnessing materials and the way we witness to people. Now watch this. Jesus never defended himself. Because when you start defending yourself, you're no longer witnessing, you're defending. I already know what I believe. I want to proclaim. If you notice, when Jesus was asked a question, what would he do? Answer with a question or tell a story. And that's what I want to teach you today. How to stay off the defense. I was trained from my youth, from kindergarten up, when somebody asked me a question, go to my Bible and prove I'm right. I could win the argument and lose the soul. Are you with me? This isn't about winning an argument. This is about bringing people to Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to keep the world from being deceived. That's why you're a Seventh-day Adventist, folks. You are Seventh-day Adventist to keep the world from being deceived. There's more to being a follower of Jesus Christ than simply being faithful and a commandment keeper. It's a proclaimer. And there's not a person in here that can't do it. And now we're ready to get down to the nitty-gritty. So, Pastor Phil, you've been leading up to this. So what is this thing you're talking about? How do you stay on the offense instead of being on the defense all the time? The first thing you have to do is unlearn everything you've ever done as an Adventist. Is that all? Yep. And start at square zero. You have to first learn to, one, are you ready? Pray. Watch this. Lord Jesus, today as I go out on the highways and byways and as I go to my job, I pray, Father, if there is someone that you want me to witness to today, that you will place them in my path and open the door so that I will know that you want me to witness to them. I ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Step one, prayer. Step two, believe it. Step three, wait on the Lord. Aww. You mean do His will? Well, I kind of want... Yeah, I know that. I know you want to grab a bunch of brochures and just go. But I'm asking you to witness with the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will place smack dab in front of you the person you need to witness to and that needs to hear your message. Amen? Can God do that? Absolutely. Folks, I could tell you story after story after story of lay people just like yourselves that call me up from all over the country and tell me these tremendous stories of how they've witnessed and how it worked. I didn't go looking for him. He was just there, and that's what I want to share with you today. Now watch. Here we go. Story number one. As I said, I was helping this evangelist out down in the southern part of Virginia. There was a small church there, and there were only 12 people in it. This is a continuation of the story I just told you. And we were beating the bushes looking for converts, boy, I'll tell you. And we heard about this one lady. She had come, and she had been coming, and then all of a sudden, sound familiar? She stopped. Disappeared. But thank God we make them fill out those little cards, and we went looking for her. And here we go, down in the southern mountainous regions of Virginia. Up the side of the mountain we go, throwing gravels out from underneath that car of mine. Here we went. We get up on the top of the mountain, and we see this little cabin. I'm being nice. More like a shack, really. Great big satellite dish sitting out there, and a brand new Cadillac. Never fails. So we go up to the door. We knock on the door. The door opens up. Now, folks, you see how high that door is? That's a normal door. When that door swung open, there was a man standing in that door that I saw the bottom part of his chin and a beard and bib overhauls and a bare chest with hair. And I'm talking about he looked like one of them big wrestlers. Had enough hair on his chest, could have stuffed a mattress. Great big old arm tattoo. He wasn't even looking at us. He goes, "What do you want?" Well, the evangelist puts his hand on my back and shoves him forward and says, "You tell him." He was just a little guy. He figured, well, he's got to go through him first. And I introduced him who we were, and we were from Revelation. I forget what the name of the seminar was, Revelation something now or something. And he goes, "Oh, you want to talk to my wife?" I said, "Yes, yes." So we went into the back. We turned the corner. We went in, and I sat down on this couch, and the wife is sitting here, and the husband sits down over here in this great big lounger. This guy was about, oh, I don't know, maybe 6'9", 7 foot. Easy. Well, he had to be that, yeah. About 7 foot tall, about 400 pounds. Made me feel good. When he sat in the chair disappeared. Looked like he was hovering. And he just sat there and he put his arms like this. Really felt welcome. And he just stared at us. And I looked at his wife and the evangelist turned to me and said, Phil, why don't you talk to her about some of that stuff you were talking to me about? What he was talking about was witnessing. So the evangelist is sitting there and I go, oh, I think her name was Mary. I don't know. I can't remember all the names, but just go with me on this, okay, folks? I may say Mary all the way through. I may say Betty. It doesn't matter. It's a soul. Amen? Okay. I said, Mary, what church do you go to, dear? She said, oh, I'm Pentecostal. Now watch. This is the witness. Pentecostal? I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and we Adventists just love you Pentecostals. You do? Now why would she make a statement like that? Maybe we're sending out the wrong vibes, that Adventists are just for Adventists. You ever heard that? We've got our own Bible, we've got our own day, our own church, our own prophet, and we're a silent club and a little minority. You ever heard those kind of stuff? This witness works with all denominations. Now watch, I said, Pentecostal, Now what have I done right away? I told her who I am. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist, and we Seventh-day Adventists just love you Pentecostals. You do? I said, oh yes, you all have so much spirit. I admire you for your spirit. Why, thank you, we certainly do. But, now watch, did you know, Mary, that we Adventists have many of the same beliefs that you Pentecostals do? You do? Why, yes, Mary. I said, now watch. Why, Mary, you believe that Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven for being disobedient to the will of God, don't you? Well, yes. You believe that Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden for being disobedient to the will of God, don't you? Well, yes. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, don't you? Well, yes. You believe in the judgment, don't you? Well, yes. So do we Adventists. I never knew we had so much in common. What have I done? Built a bridge. Didn't proof text her. Didn't talk about why I go to the Sabbath. Now, many Adventists want to argue with me on this. They go, now, wait a minute. We don't believe... I'm not talking about the same way, but they believe in it. Do you follow me? Bible studies come later. This is establishing and breaking down that wall that has been built up that separates us. I'm not going to argue about pork and beans. I'm not going to argue about bacon strips. I'm not going to talk about veggie burger. I'm going to talk about Jesus and the judgment and the three angels' message. See if you recognize the three angels' message. Here we go. She said, I didn't know we had so much in common. I said, yes, now watch. Here's the first angel's message coming right at you. I said, but now, Mary, may I ask you a question? And she said, well, sure. I said, Mary, if you and I are alive when Jesus comes, when would we have been judged? Did you hear it? If you and I are alive when Jesus comes, Mary, when would we have been judged? She looked at me and said, well, at His coming? I said, oh, Mary, you know the answer. I do? Why, sure, Mary. I said, doesn't it say somewhere over in Revelation, let's see, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be? Yes, it does say that. Well, if Jesus is coming with His reward, judgment, to give to every man, both good and wicked, then doesn't Jesus have to make some kind of decision before He gets here? Otherwise, how does He know who to take up and who to leave behind in the rapture? I use their term. That makes sense. I said, well, Mary, if that's true, then we now know there has to be a judgment sometime before Jesus' second coming. Yes, that makes sense. First angel's message, behold, the hour of His judgment has come. I just gave it. Presented a new way. Now here comes the second and third. Now watch. I said, now Mary, this being true, that there has to be some kind of a judgment before Jesus returns, then Christ has a problem. Jesus has a problem? Yeah, Mary, Jesus has a problem. Would you like to know what it is? Well, yes. I said, well, first of all, I want you to use your imagination. I want you to imagine that Satan's talking to his angels. And in this conversation he's having with his angels, he says, look, we lost in heaven. We were cast out of heaven for being disobedient to the will of God. We lost at the cross because we couldn't get Jesus to come down off of it. And we lost at the tomb because we couldn't keep Jesus in it. But we can win this battle with God in His judgment of the living. His angels say, how? Very simple. I want you to go out into all the world and bring pressure to bear on God's people. Then if Christ translates or raptures one soul who's not in repentance and obedience to the perfect will of God, then he has to take me and all my angels back to heaven too. When I said that, the big guy sitting over here goes, wow! Scared me to death. He said, you're telling me if I'm not keeping the commandments of God, I'm going to be lost. I said, brother, I never said that. You did. Second angel's message, come out of her, my people. He got it. Third angel's message, if you don't, you're going to be lost. Did you get it? Many Adventists look at me and go, I didn't get that. Why? Because you already know this. I'm talking to the rest of the world who thinking that the judgment is after Christ comes. Do you follow me? Remember, I'm talking to the rest of the world. And they get it. You've got to give them credit for common sense. And when I finished that, I said, look, Mary. I said, Christ's problem is he cannot translate, he cannot rapture a church that is willfully breaking the commandments of God. Big guy sitting over there says, I see why you keep the Sabbath. I never mentioned the Sabbath. But he knew the fourth commandment. Are you with me? Yes. Folks, it happens over and over and over. And I have many Adventist friends who say, I'm not going to try that. I don't get it. And they refuse to try it because they don't see it. The problem is, you already know that. But you're not giving the Holy Spirit the chance to convict their hearts. How many times have you seen somebody come up when the evangelist makes a call? And they'll stand up and say, I've seen that text 100 times. But today I saw it in its true light for the first time. That's called being revealed. God revealed Himself to His prophets. In the last day, God is going to reveal Himself to His sheep who hear His voice. But somebody's got to be saying something. See, most of us, we like to fall back, and it makes it feel good on Sabbath if we say, well, we handed out 10,000 tracts. And then somebody else will say, yes, and you never know. One of those tracts may end up at a garbage dump, and a garbage man might pick that thing up and be turned to Jesus. And we go, ah, yes, the Lord do work in mysterious ways. And it makes us feel good about ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, folks, that is Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, gospel, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Because we have to learn to witness. We have to learn how to speak to people. Now I understand that we're having a dinner today and that I need to wind up about 15 after is what I was told. So that's my target point. It's not 15 yet. You don't need to turn. I'm just trying to figure out if I can get one more story in. I think I'm going to try it. Here we go. I was coming back from a meeting. That was a Pentecostal lady. Amen? Okay. I'm coming back from a meeting and my wife has been staying in the northern part of Virginia taking care of her mother who was dying of cancer. It was a very rough time for us. We were apart for many months. And I was coming back from a ministerial meeting and I was very tired. And I had rode with somebody else to this meeting. And as I came back on a Sunday night, about 8 o'clock, I'm bushed. And I'm thinking, all I want to do is go inside, put my suitcase down, get a shower, say my prayers, go to bed. And I walk up to the front door, and I suddenly realize, oh, I rode with Larry. I didn't bring my keys. Honey, oh, she's not here. I'm locked out of my house. It's Sunday night. And my little wifey can't get me in. Oh, God, why did you do this to me? Why didn't you remind me? Watch. I go to my next door neighbor, knock on the door, ask him if I can use the phone. I call a locksmith. He says, well, I'll come out, but it's going to cost you $50. I said, hey, I want to get in my house. So he comes over and I'm going, Lord, $50? My wife is hundreds of miles away. I'm lonely. I'm tired. It's Sunday night. $50? God, don't you love me? No answer. I know that never happened to you. Locksmith shows up and he goes up and he goes, oh, this is a breeze. Anybody can get in this house. That made me feel good. So he goes over and he gets out his lockpick and he's just a chattering away. He says, I'll have you in a minute. Clickety click, clickety click, clickety click, clickety click. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, God, why did you send me a stupid locksmith? Out of all the locksmiths, you sent me one that can't open locks. I started to say, are you certified? And I looked on his truck and it said certified. And I thought, this must be the one that had the low average. Clickety click. He says, I don't understand this. This door ought to come open. It doesn't make any sense. Have you got a back door? Sure. So we go around back. He looks and goes, oh, this is nothing. Made me feel good again. Have you in a minute. Clickety click. Clickety click. Click. 5 minutes. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. And I'm thinking, Lord, this ain't right. To treat your servant this way. Clickety click. Clickety click. 20 minutes. He goes, don't worry, I'll get you in, and it's still only $50. And I'm thinking, you're going to be lucky to get to 50, you keep this up. We're going to get a rate reduction. And as I'm sitting there, sometimes God has to get our attention. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I'm sitting on my steps, swatting at mosquitoes, and all of a sudden, Lord, if there's somebody you want me to witness to today, place them in my path. Before I was conceived in my mother's womb, God knew me. And before I prayed the prayer and left for that weekend, God put in motion the wheel that would allow this young man, Mike, to show up at my door on a Sunday night, prepared to hear the Word of God. And as I sat there, it hit me. Lord, if you want me to witness to this young man, now watch, through the power of the Holy Spirit, open the door. Now get me now. You only witness when God opens the door. If God doesn't open the door, keep your mouth shut. Are you hearing me? So I said, Lord, if you want me to witness, open the door. And as you get into the witness, you learn when the door opens. And if it doesn't open, you keep your mouth shut. And he's there, and all of a sudden, I watch the door come open. Tell me if you've caught on yet. I don't understand this. By the way, buddy, what do you do for a living? I'm a preacher. Oh, what church? Seventh-day Adventist. I'm Catholic. I figured the price is doubled. But watch, now watch. Catholic? Why, we Seventh-day Adventists just love the Catholics. You do? Now, what did I say to the Pentecostal? Folks, now let me tell you something. Some of you might think this is phony. Now watch. When you learn to witness through the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You do love the Catholics. And you do love the Pentecostals. Now watch what I did. I said, we Seventh-day Adventists just love the Catholics. He went, you do? I said, yes, I love your Pope. You do? Yes, I admire the Pope. You do? Yes, you know what I admire about your Pope? And he said, what? I said, well, when the Pope makes a decision, they can put him in the newspapers, heckle him, put cartoons about him, say he's barbaric, a legalist, but he stands on what he says. He's got courage. I admire him for that. Yeah, Pope John Paul is like that. Yep, you're right. Yeah, I didn't know you Catholics loved us. I said, oh, yes, we love you. I said, you know what, Mike? Did you know that we Adventists have many of the same beliefs you Catholics do? Really? Like what? I said, well, you believe Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven for being disobedient to the will of God, don't you? Yeah. You believe Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden for being disobedient to the will of God, don't you? Well, yes. You believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, don't you? Well, sure. You believe in the judgment, don't you? Yes. So do we Adventists. I never knew that. I said, but Mike, listen, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, Mike, if you and I are alive when Jesus comes, when would we have been judged? Well, say that again. If you and I are alive, Mike, when Jesus comes in the clouds, when would He have judged us? Well, I don't know. I said, oh, Mike, you know the answer. I do? Yeah. Now, doesn't it say, I think over in Revelation, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be? Yes. Well, if He's coming with His reward, judgment, and He's going to give it to every man, He didn't distinguish between good and evil, so that means both good and bad, then in the rapture, doesn't Jesus have had to have made some kind of a decision before He gets here? Otherwise, how does He know who to take and who to leave? You know what? That makes sense. That makes sense. I said, now, Mike, that being true, God's got a problem. He does? Yes. I said, Mike, now I want you to use your imagination for a moment. Satan is talking to his angels. And he says, look, we lost in heaven. We were cast out for being disobedient to God. We lost at the cross. We couldn't keep Jesus from coming down off of it. And we lost at His tomb. We couldn't keep Him in the tomb. But we can win in God's judgment of the living. That last day generation that's alive when Jesus comes. They say, how? Go out into all the world and bring pressure. Bring pressure on God's people. And then if God, when He comes, when Jesus comes, if He raptures, translates one soul that's not in repentance and obedience to the perfect will of God, He's got to take me and all my angels back. He said, man, I know why you guys keep the Sabbath. I never mentioned the Sabbath. This is in a training manual I have. The words right in these stories I'm telling you are in a manual that Al has available for you. We'll make available to you. He said, I know why you keep the Sabbath. He said, where's your church? True story. All the stories I tell you are true. Where's your church? I told him, he said, well, would you mind if I came and heard some more of this with my fiance? I said, sure, Mike. You're always welcome. We love you. Click. Door unlocked. Door swung open. We go in. I said, Mike, how much do I owe you? I'm hoping. He goes, $50. But it wasn't $5,000. So we went in, and I'm sitting down. Now watch this, folks. I'm writing the check, and I start hearing this. And I look up, and Mike is crying. And I said, Mike, what's the matter? Now watch, folks. Here's where we miss the boat with Catholics, Baptists, Pentecostals, Mormons, whoever. Watch. He goes, Mom and Dad are dead, and they were devout Catholics. What's he saying? They're lost. Are you getting it? They're lost, and wait a minute, maybe if I start doing what I'm supposed to do, I'll never see Mom and Dad again. Are you following? See, he's already seen the judgment. He's seen the commandments of God. He's seen the Sabbath. Mom and Dad weren't keep. Wait a minute. Do I love the Lord more than I love? I'm just learning something new. I'm not. You following me? And I looked up at him and I said, Mike, have I got good news for you? I said, you said they were devout Catholics? He said, oh yes, they loved the Lord. He said, I never was as good as Mom and Dad. They were very pious, and they did everything the priest asked them to do, and they always went to Mass, and they loved the Lord, and they left everything to the church. And I said, Mike, you ever heard of Martin Luther? Oh, we've heard of Martin Luther. Yeah, we know Martin Luther. I said, well, I want you to use your imagination again. Jesus is sitting down at the Lamb's Book of Life. And Martin Luther's name comes up, and Satan, the accuser of the brethren, says, he is mine. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to give Martin Luther a white robe. Lucifer said, oh no, you cannot give Martin Luther a white robe. He never kept all the commandments of God. He was a beer drinker. He never kept the Sabbath. He was a persecutor of the Jews. As a matter of fact, persecuted him a second time right before he died. Jesus said, I'm going to give him a white robe. because Luther responded to my leading. And if Luther would have lived long enough, now follow this, if Luther would have lived long enough, he would have responded to my leading and he would have repented of his persecution of the Jews. He would keep all of the commandments of God and he'd have given up beer drinking. I wasn't finished with him yet when he died. And I'm going to give him a white robe. Are you following where I'm coming from, folks? You see, we have a wonderful God that does not hold us accountable for what we don't know. Remember, the Adventist church did not come up with the Sabbath, the Seventh-day Baptist did. We didn't come up with baptism, we learned that from the Baptists. Even our method of worship came from the Methodists. The Seventh-day Adventist church is a conglomeration of all those truths from those different churches in one package. That's why we are a church for the people, for the world. Mike got this smile on his face and he dried up his eyes and he said, "Really, Pastor?" I said, "Really, Mike." I said, "If your parents were responding to the leading, as you've told me, they were devout and they loved the Lord and they did everything they could and gave all that they had, I believe that they're going to be in the kingdom and you'll see them again." And I wrote out the check for $50 and handed it to him. Friends, the witness works. Now we're going to stop right here. And we're going to go downstairs and I know we're going to have a wonderful meal. And there are going to be those of you who are going to want to leave. I'm asking you to stay. Because I have, for example, okay, Pastor Phil, how do you handle once saved, always saved? How do you handle speaking in tongues? How do you handle left behind in the witness? How do you handle hell fire? How do you handle works and I'm saved by grace? If you'll come back this afternoon and meet me here, I'm going to tell you how to do these things, and then Al, through his ministry of American Cassette Ministries, will make available to you the materials that you will need that'll explain everything I'm doing today in print and also in word. I'm not trying to sell anything today, folks. I'm just saying I don't expect you to remember all this. But I do believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I have wonderful more stories to tell you of lay people who have done a tremendous telephone ministry using the witness, who have done a tremendous door-to-door ministry using the witness, and brought people in the church and never spent a dime. Would you bow your heads with me? Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for those gathered here today. And if for some reason some have to leave and go home and grab a meal, if they can't stay with us today, then Lord, I pray instead of a lay activity this afternoon, Lord, spark them up to bring them back here so they can hear the rest of this message. We need it in this hour that Jesus is coming soon. Now bless us, Father, and bless those gathered here is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This special presentation has been brought to you by American Cassette Ministries. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2001, American Cassette Ministries. All rights reserved. For additional cassettes by this speaker or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministry cassettes, please contact us as follows. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 1-800-233-4450. For international calls, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 1-717-652-9050. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. Our entire current catalog plus many other items are available online from our secure website, www.americancassette.org. We accept MasterCard, Visa, and Discover cards. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Answering the heart cry of the faithful for 26 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry, to prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.